going to be reading from Psalm 31 first and then 2 Corinthians 5. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit, and you have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. You hate those who pay regard worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will exult and rejoice in your steadfast love, because you have seen my afflictions, and you have taken heed of my adversities, and have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes waste away from grief, my soul and my body also, for my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of mind like one who is dead, have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Do not let me be put to shame, O Lord, for I call on you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go dumbfounded to Sheol. Let the lying lips be stilled that speak insolently against the righteous with pride and contempt. Oh, how abundant is your goodness that you have laid up for those who fear you and accomplished for those who take refuge in you in the sight of everyone. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from human plots. You hold them safe under your shelter from contentious tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was beset as a city under siege. I had said in my alarm, I am driven far from your sight, but you heard my supplications when I cried out to you for help. Love the Lord, all his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts haughtily. Be strong, and let your heart take courage for all who wait for the Lord. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. If indeed we have taken it off, we will not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan under our burden, because we wish not to be unclothed, but to be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. St. Paul is one of those who knew what it was to have a bad day. He had many of them, shipwrecks, beatings, imprisonments, but he knew his pilot would never bail out. And that's why he could write, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be also manifested." St. Paul was one of those who was never under his circumstances. You hear sometimes you ask somebody, "How you doing?" They say, "Well, I'm all right under the circumstances." St. Paul never did say under his circumstances. He knew how to get on top. He knew whether it was a shipwreck or imprisonment or chains, his life was testimony to the truth, and that he could be a victor rather than a victim. We ask ourselves, what was Paul's secret? And he tells us he knew the transcendent power of God in his own life. Christ lived within him. Therefore, nothing on the outside was strong enough to crush him. By faith in Jesus Christ, he not only coped, but also conquered. And we can do the same thing. He was wise enough to know, first of all, that opposition is part of life. Many of us think that life should always give us a wind at our back so we may float effortlessly through life. We whimper when things don't go our way. We whine at every setback. If the currents against us are strong enough, we throw up our hands and say, oh well, I guess it wasn't meant for us to succeed anyway. Life is hard. Don't let anybody tell you anything else. Life is hard. Only those who learn to confront that fact and plunge on with determination can move to conquering life, like Paul did. We think about before and after pictures, and they can be good, they can be bad. You see these shows on TV where they start out before, this is how the house looked, and after the design team gets through, it looks like a mansion. Or we see how you looked before you bought that Muscle Man machine and how you looked afterwards and how everybody was so impressed with you. But then on the downside of that, there are those before and after pictures where communities were destroyed by fire or tornadoes, where drug had taken an attractive young person and let them wither away through the use of methamphetamines or crack cocaine. And that's a transformation we hope we don't see. Before and after. In your life, would you count your before and after experiences? Do you see those before and after experiences? Do you wish they were all positive ones? Do you wish they were all happily ever afters? If you live long enough, you're going to experience some befores and afters that are not happy. In fact, somewhere along the way, you're going to experience some loss to evil or suffering or failure so devastating that it fundamentally changes how you believe. In the psalm we read this morning, the psalmist is in that after picture. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors. I am a dread to my friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten by them as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery. For I hear the slander of many, that is terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life, but I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. That is a man who has hit rock bottom. Everybody's against him. Nothing seems to go right, and I'm sure many of us have been in that situation at one time or another. We've just hit rock bottom. Things just don't seem to go our way, and we don't know what to do about it. What the psalmist is telling us, and what Paul is telling us, is that we should trust in God. You are my God. My times are in your hands, and that's the key to life. Save me in your unfailing love. God never fails to love us. No matter what we do, God never fails to love us. He is always there for us, and as much as you may feel like God has forsaken you, He hasn't. Things may not happen in the time frame you want them to happen. You don't get pulled up out of the gutter the way you want to be pulled up out of the gutter, but God has your best interests. And He will not forsake you. He is always there with his unfailing love. So what do you believe? What can God do with death or being on a rock bottom? Brokenness. What can God do for us through our terrible experiences? Is there a way out? There is a way out. And think about in John 11, the story of Lazarus. There is a very good example of how God can turn things around. Lazarus was a pretty good friend of Jesus. Mary and Martha, his sisters, they all knew each other real well. Lazarus was very sick. They sent word to Jesus that he was sick. Please come so that you can heal him. Lord, the one you love is sick. Well, when Jesus receives that message, he kind of acts in a strange way. He stays right where he's at. The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for the glory, for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. They stay right where they're at. He continues to do what he's doing, his missionary work, for 4 days. In the meantime, Lazarus dies. They prepare him for the tomb, and they put him in his tomb. Then Jesus shows up. And Mary and Martha meet him on the road coming into Bethany. Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. Lord, if you had been here, these things would not have happened. How many times have you told yourself that? Lord, if you had been here, I wouldn't have contracted cancer. Lord, if you had been here, we wouldn't have lost the house. Lord, if you had been here, we could have made our marriage work. Lord, if you had been here, how many times have you told yourself that? But then Martha turns around and says, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. In spite of her brother's death, Martha still believes that Jesus can and will redeem the situation. So whenever you think to yourself, Lord, if you had only been here, remember that he is there. And he will make that situation better. He's not forsaken you. So when Jesus goes over to the tomb, there's friends and neighbors weeping around him, causes him to weep. He tells them to move the stone from the tomb, and he starts to go towards the tomb. Martha goes, Lord, it's been 4 days. There's probably a pretty good stench coming out of there by now. I'm paraphrasing, of course. But Jesus walks up to the mouth of the tomb, and he says, Lazarus, come out. And sure enough, Lazarus walks out of that tomb in his burial clothes and the veil over his face. He is reanimated, reincarnated, whatever you want to call it. Jesus brought him back to life, to the glory of God. I've always thought it was kind of interesting that when he stands at the mouth of the tomb, he says, Lazarus, come out. Can you imagine if he'd have stood at the mouth of the tomb and just said, come out? I don't know how many people were buried in that tomb, but there would have been a bunch of people coming out of there. He can do those things. He can bring people back. He can save people from the worst. I use a good example here that we know. Bonnie McKinney over in the nursing home. About 6 months ago, they had her in a hospital bed in her room. She's not going to make it. And she fooled them. She was okay. About 6 weeks ago, something similar to that happened. They basically told her her liver, she's got cancer in her liver. Her liver is shutting down and she's not going to make it. They pretty much wrote her off. They were feeding her morphine to make her comfortable. We stopped to see her the other day to give her communion. She's fine. I mean, she's not perfect, but she's fine. And she'll look at you and she'll say, Brother Randy, I'm not ready to go yet. God still has something for me to do. I don't know what that is, But when it happens, I'll be ready. See, God can make things like that happen. She was on her deathbed twice, and they brought her back. He brought her back. So don't ever think that you are forsaken, because God can do anything. He can go against the natural order of nature and make things happen. You just have to believe. And that's why the psalmist says, "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love." Look at that psalm from Jesus' perspective. As Jesus is tortured, hung on a cross, in the heat, he's stabbed in the side with a spear. Envision Jesus against this psalm. "Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish, and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors. I am a dread to my friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten by them as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery, for I hear the slander of many. There is terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life." Doesn't that kind of sound like what Jesus went through? Now, I don't think the psalmist really had a grasp of the horror of crucifixion, but all the things that Jesus went through leading up to that, he surely felt forsaken. In fact, one of the last things he says before he dies is, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Now, you know, if Jesus hanging on the cross can think to himself, the human part of Jesus can think to himself, "God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me?" Then it's not going to be unusual for us to feel the same way sometimes. Why have you forsaken me? Why aren't you here fixing this for me? But he doesn't forsake us. Just like he raised Jesus back up in 3 days, as he ascended to heaven, Jesus, God, can make those things happen. And that's good news for us. We live by faith, not by sight. In fact, in Hebrews 13, it specifically says, "I shall never leave you nor forsake you." Not going to leave your side. He's not going to forsake you, even if you hit rock bottom. Sometimes you've got to hit rock bottom to bounce back up and get to where God wants you to be. Most of us remember Tammy Faye Baker and the Baker problem, the PTL club and the scandal that was all involved with that. Philip Yancey, an author and a preacher, he was watching their show one day, and Tammy Faye said something that really kind of bothered him. There was people up there giving testimony about being Christian. And all of a sudden, she looks at the camera and she goes, "Ooh, the Christian life is so great that I think I would become a Christian even if it wasn't true." Philip Yancey was like, "Wait a minute." But he couldn't quite put his finger on why that bothered him. But he knew it had something to do with, even if it wasn't true. It just seemed wrong. Why would you say something like that? He finally figured out why it caused him discomfort. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible's central chapter on resurrection from the dead, there the Apostle Paul stakes his faith on the truth of Jesus' resurrection. With remarkable bluntness, he argues that if Christ had not been raised, his own preaching would be useless, as would our faith. Furthermore, he adds, except for the resurrection, we are to be pitied more than all men. Even if it wasn't true, how could you say something like that as a Christian? How can you deny that God is not there with you? Paul, even though he wasn't one of the original, actually saw Christ in a big way. And he learned to believe in Christ. He learned to have faith that would get him through any situation. Of course, Yancey also makes the comment that at the time Tammy Faye was young, he wasn't judging her, that as she probably went through some suffering, she probably matured as a Christian. But we go back to the author of the psalm and how he knew about the before and after. And in 14, 15, and 16, he says, "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant and save me in your unfailing love." So if you don't take away anything else from today's sermon, take away the fact that God has unfailing love. He never will abandon you. He never will forsake you. He is always there with your best interest at heart, and he is going to do what's best for you in his time. So even if you hit rock bottom, you're not there alone. He's going to lift you up out of there. He's going to lift you up when he knows the time is right, in the situation that's right, to put you back on the track that he has you on. I tell people sometimes terrible things have to happen for him to change the direction of your life. Sometimes you have to hit rock bottom to bounce back up and get on God's path. But he's always there with his unfailing love. He never forsakes you. He never abandons you. He is always there for you, for anybody that believes. For we believe by faith, not by sight. We don't have to see him to know he exists. We don't have to see him to know that he's giving you that nudge. We don't have to see him to hear that whisper in your ear, "Go this way. Do this. Before you go any farther, you need to check this." We don't always listen. But he does talk to us. And he is always there for us through his unfailing love. Amen.